Welcome to the Dream Life University podcast show, the show that helps you transition from a life you live to a life you love by giving you practical strategies and tools to help you succeed. And now, here's your host, Rhonda Williams.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dream Life University podcast show. This is episode 11, Wisdom from a Docpreneur. My name is Rhonda Williams, the Dream Life Coach, and your host for the show, where we help you transition from a life you live to a life you love. Today's show is sponsored by Spoiled Naturally, so when you have a chance, you can check them out at www.spoilednaturally.com for beautiful and naturally moisturized skin. So today, I am super excited to introduce our guest to the show. Dr. Michael Devine is a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and a member of the American Society of Plastic Surgery, the American Society of Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, and the Arizona Society of Plastic Surgeons. After graduating with honors with a BS in psychology, Dr. Devine attended the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, the Department of Defense Medical School, and went on to serve for 12 years in the U.S. Air Force as a medical student, flight surgeon, and general surgeon. Dr. Michael Devine is founder of Cool Body Contours, which brings unprecedented degree of medical professionalism and ethics to the art and science of cool sculpting fat reduction. A plastic and reconstructive surgeon specializing in cosmetic surgery, Dr. Devine is board certified in plastic surgery, general surgery, wound care, and hyperbaric medicine. In his cosmetic surgical practice, he performs most procedures with local anesthesia to minimize costs and avoid the additional risk of general anesthesia. In his spare time, Dr. Devine refuels by running, swimming, boating, cooking, reading, and writing, and he gives back by performing humanitarian missions alongside of his wife. Dr. D, welcome to the show.
Rhonda, thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited to have you on the show because I have had the pleasure and the good fortune of working with you for a little while. And I was always impressed by, number one, your professionalism. Number two, you had this way of demanding that just the highest level of service. You had a very high expectation for your patients. And you had this fabulous entrepreneurial spirit. So you were sort of all of those wonderful things wrapped up in one. And so it was such a pleasure for me working with you.
Well, thank you, Ron. And I enjoyed meeting you. That was now several years ago. And so I'm glad we were able to reconnect here today.
I know. So I am excited for our conversation. And here on the Dream Life University show, what we do is we really talk to people about, you know, where are you in your life today? And then some of those successes that you've experienced, you know, what were those like? What were your challenges and how did we get there? So I'm going to dive right into our questions for you. And the first question is sort of give us the short story of how you became a plastic surgeon, because here in your bio, it says you started out in psychology.
And that's exactly right, Rhonda. And it goes to show you, sometimes you never know, you know, what life holds in front of you. And I think just taking advantage of opportunities and enjoying what you like, you end up doing things that you love. So my story is just that. I was a psychology major. And at the time, I thought maybe I wanted to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. And so when I decided to go to medical school, as you know, we do our rotations in various clinical specialties. And when I did my psychology or psychiatry rotation, I enjoyed some of it, but not all of it. And so when I went on to do surgery, and at the time I did a general surgery rotation, I really, really enjoyed that. And I realized with surgery, because you're taking care of people, you're still using those same skills that I really enjoyed and I learned about in my psychology classes. And so to have that background and then learn a new skill, i.e. a surgical skill, I thought, oh gosh, why not? Why not learn as much as I can? And so I went on to do, you know, again, training and residency in general surgery. And then when I did my plastic surgery rotations as a general surgery resident, I really enjoyed that. And again, it really allowed me to utilize those same techniques that I learned in psychology, really trying to understand people and really just being, a good listener. And so I took that as a stepping stone to start my training in plastic surgery. And again, just perfecting some of my surgical skills. And it all seems to kind of come together in the end. And so it seemed like a perfect fit.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. And, you know, I really hadn't thought of those two in terms of, you know, that psychology being the study and the field of helping people, and then of course transitioning that to surgery. Now that you've described it that way, it makes so much sense. I probably would have never put those two together that way had you not said that. But you know, one of the questions I have for you, and I want to back up just a second, is you went into the military, and so was the military something that you always wanted to do, or was that sort of a part of a master plan, or how'd you decide that the military would be the route for you?
Honestly, Rhonda, it's just, again, circumstance. And so I did my undergraduate at University of Maryland, and I had heard about this medical school, again, Department of Defense Medical School, that is in Maryland as well. It's in Bethesda, Maryland. And so when I was going to apply to medical school, I learned about it. That school basically is very similar to an academy, like the Air Force Academy or West Point or something like that, but just at a graduate school level. And so when I started to learn more about the school, I enjoyed the idea. I didn't pick it. It wasn't a master plan. It's just that as I learned about it, the more I learned, the more I thought, wow, this could be kind of exciting. And I thought it was kind of going to medical school with a twist, because I knew I would be active duty and still be able to serve my country while still getting the education that I wanted to be a doctor.
Wow. That sounds wonderful, and it sounds like you opened yourself up all along this path that you took to the possibilities, that you were open and flexible and just sort of following your heart as you sort of went along the way, and it led you to this amazing place that you are.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Ron, and I think I've learned that just as a youngster, if you will, and then it's continued throughout my adult life and certainly now throughout my career, is that sometimes opportunities and things come your way, and if you're not open to them, then sometimes you miss a really, you know, important opportunity. And so I try to be open, and obviously you try to have goals and priorities, and if something is going to conflict with those, then you may say no thank you to some of those opportunities. But when you're open to it and you realize that even if you don't see exactly directly how it might be a positive benefit, sometimes if you're just open to it, you just kind of let it go and kind of see where it goes. The next thing you know, it gets you closer to where you want to be.
Wow. No, I think that's right. And I think sometimes because we have these preconceived ideas and we have our minds made up, it's difficult for us to sometimes be able to see that there might be something ahead for us that we hadn't considered. And, you know, if we're just open and flexible, then there is something spectacular that might be waiting for us. So as you talked, you mentioned a couple of things that stood out for me so far. As you're sort of talking about your journey, you are talking about a few key skills. You mentioned listening. And we've talked about the need to be flexible. And then you've talked about goals and priorities. Are there other characteristics that you feel helped contribute to your success and that you feel might be necessary for anyone to be successful in life?
Hard work. I think there's nothing that takes the place of hard work. I think hard work is a very important part of getting from point A to point B, but also, as we know, working smart. And so sometimes we know that we can work hard, but I think we always want to kind of look at what we're doing and revisit what we're doing and making sure that the steps that we are taking are getting us closer to that path. And so we mentioned about listening, we mentioned about flexibility and having priorities and committing yourself to a certain outcome. But with that, I think having an outlined plan as best you can, and knowing that the plan may change, but I think having that outline and knowing that you may have to make adjustments along the way, I think that really does help. And then when you're putting that hard work forward, then you know that you're doing it in the right direction. And if you feel like that hard work is not getting you the return that you want, that's when you kind of have to revisit and say, okay, am I working hard or am I working smart or am I just spinning my wheels? Mm-hmm. And I think that also I've learned is an important part. You always have to kind of revisit what you're doing and making sure it's getting closer to the goal that you want to achieve.
Well, that is, that ability to revisit. I think sometimes we get, Dr. D, we get nervous because we set this plan and we think, okay, I've got the plan, and we start to work the plan. And then something happens. Life throws us a curveball, or I call them, a pothole, along the road of life. And then we get a little, I think, unnerved, and we might feel like a failure. And so how do you push past that point and just know that it's just things are going to happen and it's okay?
Well, I think you hit it. I think number one, if you think to yourself, there is a master plan, and it may not necessarily be mine. And so, I'm a believer in powers to be above me. And sometimes just kind of thinking that and knowing that when something happens, I kind of take a step back and say, maybe this other thing I had in mind wasn't meant to be. Maybe, maybe I have to reconsider whether it was my plan or whatever happened, to look and say, this is in someone else's master plan and I might have to just adjust or kind of just take it and accept it. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes those can be very difficult things, especially, when it involves loss or something like that. But I think sometimes I do have to surrender to another, master plan that I realize I'm not the one making. So for me, that becomes an important, part is that acceptance. And then the second is sometimes I look and say, well, if something bad happens, is there any way for me to make it into something good? Is there a way to take the lemon and make it into lemonade? And maybe it'll allow me to create a better picture of lemonade than what I would have done. And, and again, I think that comes with accepting what happens and trying to, and knowing that you can, you'll be okay. I mean, just kind of knowing that whatever happened, it's like, all right, okay, I get it. There's another challenge here, and you kind of accept it and kind of take it in stride, and then you just try to work with it and make the best you can out of it.
No, absolutely. Those challenges and those things come up, and I think some of us do a much better job of others. Sometimes we develop the skill of, persistence and perseverance. But along your journey, did you find that there was what was one thing that either really surprised you as you continued along the road of building your successful practice and some of your other entrepreneurial ventures? What was one thing that either surprised you or challenged you as you were building your amazing life?
I think the part that surprised me as well as challenged me is that I would have things come up that I wasn't ready for, that I wasn't expecting. And some of it, I felt like it was a big, blockade in terms of getting me to the next step. And I think what surprised me and what I think was very fortunate is that I did just what I described. I kind of would be open to these changes and challenges, and then kind of just either work with it, figure it out, or make something better out of it. And you'd be amazed at how resilient we are. I think we're built to persevere. I think we as as human beings with brains and motivation and heart and commitment, I think we are really designed to have that stick-to-itiveness. And really, when you think that you just can't take another, you know, anything more, I actually am surprised to find that, no, we can, and, you know, you'll do just fine. And I think those are the things that most of us, you don't realize how much you can actually persevere until you've done it. And many times you will be better off because of it.
Wow. You know, that stick-to-itiveness is something that it's sort of been a key factor in my life. And I actually talked about it in my upcoming book that's being released later this month. But it's really about that, determining that mindset to, you know, to just say, you know what, whatever it is, I can get through it. I don't have to quit. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to survive. You know, tomorrow will come. The sun will come up. You know, all of those things, as you just mentioned, allowing us to get through. Well, thank you for that. That was a fantastic answer. And I want to ask you a little bit about your Cool Body Contours, because you're the founder of that. And I want you to tell us just a little bit about, you know, why you decided that, you know, it was time to found Cool Body Contours. And, you know, what was your inspiration for founding it?
Well, you know, I've been a physician now for several years, and I've mostly worked with or under other individuals, whether it's mentors or hospitals or, you know, other, you know, clinicians who have been doing this longer than I have. And so the reason I founded Cool Body was because, you know, I thought it was just time for me to do something on my own, something that was mine that I could create. Because no one else is doing that. But sometimes in order to do something, you just have to do it yourself, because to try to get someone else to agree with you and to plan it the way you would or something like that, sometimes it's just not going to happen. And I think having confidence in yourself and knowing that it's hard, because I think what I've learned in the last, you know, year and a half now doing this on my own, it really has a lot of challenges, but it's really, it's just the only thing that would beat me is me, meaning if I, you know, somehow wasn't able to overcome some of the challenges. And I think, you know, I utilize other people in terms of their knowledge. I work with people, network with people, and try to do everything that I can to be successful. And even with that, I've come across lots of challenges and obstacles, but I think you take them as they come and just try to jump the hurdle, and then you get to the next step. And so the answer is, you know, it was time for me to really do something that was my own. And I felt as though everything that I have learned in my training, both as a general surgeon, plastic surgeon, my cosmetic background, you know, I really felt as though that I had the unique qualities that can make this work, and I still believe that to be true.
Wow, it's you know, the confidence, you know, even listening to you talk and hearing you talk about, you know what, yes, it's challenging, and yes, it's hard, but you know what, I have confidence in myself, and I know that it was time for me to do this, and I can make this work, you know, is a message I think that I hope all of our listeners will be listening to and taking that to heart and finding that in themselves. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I look at someone like yourself who's managed, I think, to accomplish some pretty amazing things. And there are people out there in the world who would say, you know, well, that's just you. That could never be me. You were lucky. You know, I could never get that lucky. How would you respond to that type of a characterization?
Well, I think if someone looked at my background, and even I myself, if I look at my background, I would not have guessed that I would be where I am today. And not that I wasn't. I mean, I had very supportive parents who were encouraging and also encouraged hard work in terms of getting from point A to point B to achieve goals. But I didn't have a special circumstance that someone would look and say, well, gosh, it makes sense that, you know, I am where I am today. And I think that part of it kind of goes back to having goals and then just being confident in your own abilities and just plain old hard work. You know, some people, if it's easy, they'll do it, and if it's hard, they won't. And I think what's more interesting is when people, when it's hard for them and they're still able to achieve, you know, that's a special person. Because when someone has something that's either given to them or, you know, whatever, handed down from, you know, previous family or inheritance and all that stuff, that's fine. I don't hold that against anyone. But I'll tell you, when people achieve from hard work, it basically just encourages you to do more and more and more because you know that you've been able to overcome something.
No, that's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much for that. I could not agree more. And, you know, I look at sort of everything happening in our lives today. And then I look at you as a husband and a very successful entrepreneur, a physician, and a very busy career. So my question is, how do you in your life define balance and then how do you manage this balance, or do you?
Well, we try, and I try, and I think that, again, it's a challenge, and it's a work in progress. There are times, like right now with the new office, where I'm probably away a little more than I would like to be, maybe home later than I would like to be, maybe on phone calls more than I would like to be, but my wife has been supportive and understanding. I try to, when I am home or the weekends, to be all in, meaning to try to, you know, really concentrate on us and our family rather than, you know, constantly being pulled away. I mean, sometimes I have to take a call or I have to do something, and she understands that. But, you know, I think, you know, having that quality life when you are not in the office or at the hospital, I think it's just as important as doing good work in the office or hospital as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I mentioned earlier that, you know, since we've been having conversation, I've sort of was able to hear and feel that entrepreneurial spirit in you. So do you have any other projects in the works, or, you know, is this going to be what's really holding your attention for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, the answer is I always have lots of ideas and other projects, but right now I'm really focused on this. And so, maybe that's probably one of my downfalls too, is that there's so many things out there that I get excited about. I have lots of interest. But for now, this is really my main priority. And I think that is an important point, because I think for any of us, it's easy to get distracted. And so at some point, you kind of have to, you know, again, make those priorities and make sure that in the immediate, until things are really the way you want them to be, that you're not allowing yourself to lose focus. And focus on, you know, one project at a time, and then kind of, you know, as things transpire and you're able to allow your attention to go elsewhere and do another project, that's a possibility. But I think in general, having some focus is going to really be important for success.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you know, I'm going to wrap it up, and I know you've had a busy day today. But before I do, I would like you to summarize it by just giving us three key takeaways, you know, thinking about the person specifically who is out there and really wanting to transition their life and move things forward. You know, what key little tidbits would you share with what three key tidbits would you share with them?
I would say commitment. And I mean commitment not just to your project or goal, but commitment to yourself. Just allow yourself and be patient with yourself so that you and know that you can achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. I think a lot of times we're patient with other people, but not as patient with ourselves. So I say commit to yourself and be confident in your ability, and I think you will get there. I say number two is hard work and smart work, meaning put in the elbow grease and do the time and, you know, do whatever it takes, whether it's homework or, you know, whatever it is, so that you are getting closer to that goal. But at the same rate, also working smart and making sure that you're not just, you know, spinning wheels, but you're actually moving forward in terms of reaching the goal. And then lastly, we talked about this a little bit, but I think flexibility, meaning knowing that as you come across things, you may have to, you know, adjust your compass a little bit. You may have to adjust the steering on the steering wheel so that you can get around something. Maybe you can still get from point A to point B on that same path, but you may have to take a little bit of a different route. And I think sometimes those challenges, again, can seem insurmountable, but I think going back to the confidence and the hard work and the smart work, you'll know that you can still achieve that goal.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for those key takeaways. And, you know that you are such an inspiration. And I'm really believing that your story and your words of wisdom will touch someone else and inspire them to continue to move forward. So I thank you so much for your time and being on the show and for being a friend also.
My pleasure, Rhonda. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. And to our audience, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to today's show. As always, we will post additional information on our website about how to contact Dr. D. And also, if you are interested in more information about, you know, the Cool Body Contours, if you happen to be in the Phoenix area or the Scottsdale, correct, Dr. D?
That is correct. We're in the Scottsdale and have a beautiful office, and we love seeing new clients, so please come and visit.
Well, I don't know, Dr. D. Be careful what you ask for, because I might just come out for a little visit and, you know, I could have you do some work on me, and then I could be a walking testimonial for you.
Perfect. Absolutely. We'd love that.
Wonderful. Well, until then, as I said, we will post all the contact information on our website, and stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, I hope that this has helped you take one more step towards living your most amazing life. Until next time.
Thanks for tuning in. We encourage you to consider today's takeaways and apply one or more to your life to help you build the amazing life you want to live. And remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and share with your friends by visiting the podcast archives at www.thedreamlifecoach.com.